Next, it's my privilege to introduce Dr. Sharmila Dissanayake from Texas Tech University. She's a professor of surgery there. She's chair of surgery and chair of the verification committee at the American Burn Association. She did a trauma and critical care fellowship at Harborview and has been an active and very informative member of the ABA and the Committee on Trauma. So thank you very much, Sharmila.
Okay, good morning, everyone, and thank you very much for being here. So I want to talk a little bit about the basics of outpatient burn care. And the point I want to emphasize is it's really not that difficult. In fact, it's probably easier than you think to provide high-quality burn care to your patients. And Dr. Verkus gave a great talk on who's eligible, and so I don't want to belabor that. But one thing I want to talk briefly about is pain control. So who here thinks burns are really, really painful? Right, most of us, right? They really hurt. And the key is this, the more superficial the burn, the more it hurts. And obviously it's the superficial burns that you're gonna think about doing as outpatient. So the standard varies across the country. There are some centers that will use deep sedation, ketamine, IV narcotics, and anxiolytics for a lot of this burn care. To do that, you can do bigger burns, but you probably need to have a monitored setting and personnel who are trained. In our center, we usually don't do burns larger than 10% as an outpatient because our patients come from 3, 4, 5, 6 hours away. And so we tend to do it for less than 10% burns. Again, this is not hard and fast rule. And so we are able to use oral agents without any IV medication and actually do that successfully. So a lot of this involves determining what your abilities are and then choosing your patients appropriately. You don't have to have IV sedation for outpatient burn care. So I want to show you a video of how to do it. Oops, sorry. And if you notice, we're just using tap water here. We're not really doing anything very fancy. We're using a chlorhexidine solution on the water. That's all we're doing. Not sterile gloves, just clean gloves after they've washed their hands. And you notice that's a burn, superficial, small, on the foot. It's nice and light pink. Please notice how everything's been laid out. That's one tip I'd like to give you. If you're going to do this at your centers, make sure everybody is organized. There's nothing worse than being in the middle of it and finding out you didn't have anything. They used a water-based dressing, and it's on a non-stick dressing now. We use Adaptic. You can use Telfa. You can use anything that's available to you. And the key is you want to cut it to where it's just the right size for the burn. You notice he didn't cover the healed areas. He only covered the open areas. And over that nonstick layer, you just put a piece of gauze. And over that, we put an ACE wrap. So that's all you have to do. And so you'll realize this is something that we teach the families of burn patients to do. You do not need some very high-level wound care skills. Your nursing staff should be able to do this just fine, or even a specially trained technician. We actually use burn technicians who are trained to do this, who are not nurses, for almost all our outpatient wound care. So as physicians, I think what you need to do or be aware of more than the actual burn care itself is how do you reassess? How do you say how this is going? Is it going well? Are you messing it all up? Ideally, you want a pink burn to gradually get lighter pink and then the patient's normal skin color. If it's getting darker or if it's getting white, that's a problem. That means your burn's getting deeper. It needs to be reassessed and probably should be referred to the burn clinic at that point at a burn center. Dr. Verkus mentioned cellulitis. If it's starting to get red around the edges, more painful, that's a problem. And clearly, if it's starting to look like anything like the picture on your right, that is a patient failing outpatient burn care that needs to be seen. It's interesting I have to actually say this, but we've had cases where patients were actually getting unstable joints and exposed tendon, and that was delaying in sending to us. So if you see any exposed tendon, any instability in hands and feet, usually this happens on the fingers, that definitely needs urgent referral. Dr. Palmieri is going to talk about ointments, so I'm not going to go into too much detail on that. We tend to use water-based ointments, Aquaphor, for most things. You can use antibiotic ointments. They're common, they're cheap, they're easily available. But we tend not to use ointments that cause a thick buildup, so Silvadine is not popular in our community for that reason. There are enzymatic debriders. Those are more expensive. And so just be aware there are multiple options. I have no conflicts of interest with any of these companies. I'm just giving you an idea of the various things we use. So I want to show you next a video of a hand burn. And here's why. Most of the burns that you will see that are okay for outpatient care are going to be hands, right? People are cooking, they're using deep fryers in a restaurant, and they get something spilled into their hand. It's a very common burn. But people get really nervous. They feel like they need to transfer that, and they don't know how to wrap it. We've had patients come in with these big mitten wraps that they can't do anything with their hand with because everyone's just wrapped them in so much dressing. And so I just want to show you very closely how that can be done. And it's going to be similar to what we just saw. Again, just soap and water being cleaned there. And again, you'll see they're squirting up that ointment. This is Aquaphor in this case, onto a nonstick dressing. And now it's going to get it really goopy. We like that part to be moist. But remember, when you use these moist dressings, you've got to not put it on the regular skin or you'll macerate it. So it's cut carefully to size just to cover the burn. And then the big difference with a hand dressing is that we're going to use Coban as our dressing, not Curlix and gauze. Who here is familiar and uses Coban regularly for a wound care? Okay, so some of the group. And as you probably know, then those of you that do use it, you have to be careful that you don't put it on too tightly. There has been a lawsuit where a burn surgeon actually ended up losing their license, I believe, in that state. The person lost fingers. So be careful, and you'll notice in this video how they're keeping that slack in the Coban to make sure they don't put it on too tightly. Make sure you tell the patients, obviously, if it's getting too tight, take it off. So how we do it is we train people to just leave that little tail after each finger, cut a hole in for the thumb with the 2-inch Coban. We use 1-inch Coban on the fingers, 2-inch on the palm and the thumb. And then with that 2-inch, you basically just cover your tails. And the goal is you should have a nice dressing that allows the patient to move. One thing that patients will do with hand burns is they'll try to freeze it. They won't move their hand because it hurts. And you've got to really tell them, no, 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 you must use your hand. So you have to give them a dressing, just like this one, that allows them to use their hands without limitation, because otherwise you will have problems with joint stiffness, and then they'll be going to therapy for the next, 6 months to try to recover what you've done to them with their dressing. So it is, I think, worthwhile taking a little bit of trouble to ensure that they can wiggle their hands and do fine after this. So the final thing I want to talk about is silver dressings. Who here has used silver dressings in their care? Okay, great. So clearly very popular. It has antimicrobial properties, but I think the real reason we love it is that it can reduce the frequency of dressing changes, right? Because you can leave the silver adherent to the patient and only change the top layer of absorbent changes. And then usually after 3, 5, 7 days, depending on your practice, the silver kind of lifts off as the burn heals. You can use a water-based gel. Aquaphor is what we use to lift it off if it needs a bit of help. And you need to select your patients carefully. So it works best on superficial, nice, moist burns. And this one we'll go through very quickly because it is very simple. Sorry, I'm just going to jump to that. Where they're laying on that silver dressing, you can use any of the many brands out there now. And the key is to just make sure that it's conforming really well to the burn. We've had cases where it wasn't applied well, it kind of starts to fall off, then it's not doing anything and the patient is in severe pain, they come back. So we'll put sometimes these extra layers to make sure we're not missing any part. And we like at least 1 inch of overlap on normal skin to make sure it doesn't move. We'll then put, we use Exudry in this case, but some sort of absorbent dressing. These can get quite soupy. And then over that, we'll put a Curlix and Ace, just like normal. So in summary, you can do a lot of good by transitioning a lot of your smaller burn care to the outpatient setting instead of the inpatient setting. Managing their pain is something that needs a bit of effort, but can be done. We comfortably manage less than 10% burns on oral narcotics quite easily. Have the patient take them before they, right, while they're in the waiting room of the clinic, and that works well. And as physicians, we need to be very diligent that we're monitoring these patients appropriately for progression. So just as I finish, I'm going to give you the answers to the self-assessment CME questions. So if you're going to take self-assessment CME, here are the 2 questions related to this lecture. So this is the first one. Which one is not suitable for outpatient burn treatment? I'll give you 30 seconds to read that. What do you think the answer is? Yeah, it's A, right? So a third degree burn needs surgery, needs skin grafting. Doesn't matter what you do and what goop you put on it, not going to get better. So that's the patient that doesn't need outpatient treatment. The next one, what features suggest that the outpatient burn treatment is successful and should be continued? Any ideas? B, yeah, so it's B. So a second degree burn that's starting to get lighter in appearance, more normal, is an indication of success. All right. Thank you very much.